Again, we want to give you a very warm welcome. Thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it. You coming out week by week. We don't take it for granted. We really appreciate it. We love your friendship. And we're so thankful that you're coming out to hear the gospel. Can you turn with me to Isaiah 53, please? Isaiah 53. If you notice when we're singing a lot about substitution and how Jesus died for us. And even more importantly, Jesus died for me personally. And tonight we hope that each one will come to this knowledge and this truth. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. I'll read a few verses here. Who hath believed our report? Now this is God speaking. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, that is the Lord Jesus, shall grow up before him, that is God the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty, there's no outward beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And here's a precious verse, next two verses. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that is on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Over to verse 10. Yet, and this is now talking continually about the cross, yet it pleased the Lord, that's the Lord in heaven, to bruise him, that is Christ. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his, that is, in Christ's hand. He shall see of the travail or the suffering of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. May the Lord bless his precious word. So this chapter in the Old Testament is one of the clearest chapters where we can find the gospel. That's God's good news towards mankind. And in this chapter, you will find the wickedness of man's sin. That is the real problem that man has before God. And you will find what God has done about it and how far God went to remove sin from us. And we will talk about this. But if you go into, I enjoy this one YouTube channel where this one brother in Christ, he's a Jewish believer in Christ, and how he goes into the streets of Israel and in Jerusalem. And he talks to the people there, even the rabbis and people who are just a common folk in Israel. And he will read portions of Isaiah 53. And he will ask them, where would this be found? In the New Testament or in the Old Testament? And who do they think it's speaking of? And almost all the time, they say it's in the New Testament and it's speaking of Jesus. And then, of course, he reveals to them that no, actually, it's found in the Old Testament scriptures, in this portion of Isaiah 53, it is so vividly speaking of the cross and of Christ and what God has done to bring the world, to bring us sinners back to himself. It is a very precious, precious verse here, verses that we read. But I want to zero in more specifically on verse 6. This is what we would call a gospel in one verse. We find that in John 3 and 16, for example. And when we see the gospel in one verse, we find man's sin, that is the problem that we have before a holy God. And then you have God's remedy, or what God had done about it. And then we have man's responsibility. So here we find in verse 6 of Isaiah 53, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. And now in the gospel, when we speak of the good news, and you've probably heard this many times, but we have to be faithful to God's word. And what we're saying, test it by scripture. See if it is true what we're saying. And that is why we're reading the word of God and trying to explain it. Because I grew up in a place that told us all these things that we were supposed to do to get right with God, and it was false. It was not rooted or found in Scripture, in God's Word. And we want to be faithful to you and share with you from God's Word the truth. And we want you to test it by Scripture. Go and study it for yourself and see if these things, read through all the Scripture, and see if these things are true. And you will find that the things that we're sharing with you tonight are true. And you find this through all the scriptures. First and foremost is man's sin that God wants us to understand. He wants us to recognize tonight that if ever we will be saved, or if ever we come to Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have to recognize first and foremost that we need a Savior. And why do we need a Savior? And the God is a God of intelligence, and he's made us intelligent, and he's given us understanding, and he tells us from Scripture why. There's a reason why mankind is ruined. And if you go back to the Old Testament, and we start here with this verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. What does that mean? That means gone away from God. We have all been rebellious against God. God gave us the Ten Commandments, and he said, thou shalt not do these things. And if you go a little bit further, even to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and he gave them a commandment, and they disobeyed. And sin came into the world. And you can see how God is very serious in Scripture about sin. And I know we have to talk about this because maybe you haven't recognized how wicked sin is before God. And how God is a holy, holy, holy God. We think of the Old Testament, for example, in Isaiah 6. We find there Isaiah falling down, and we understand there that we read that he is holy, holy, holy. Three times it's mentioned. It's very significant. If you go back to the last book of the Bible, in Revelations, it says the same thing. In Revelations 4, the four living creatures fall down before God, and they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So God is a holy God, and we have to understand this because religion, the religions of the world, they do not recognize that God is a holy God. Because they come along and they try to bribe God and say, he is going to overlook my sin if I do all this. And that is not what you cannot do this to a holy God. Because if he is holy, then sin is a real problem. Right? So if you think about this, if you go right back to the Garden of Eden, God put forth man out of his presence. Why did he do this? Because they had sinned. They had rebelled against God. And if you go right through the Old Testament, you see how serious sin is to God. If you go right along to Noah, for example, at that time, God was angry even that he had made man. And he wanted to wipe man off the face of the earth. Because the wickedness of man, had permeated the whole planet. And God, it grieved the Lord that he had made man. And yet there was 8 people that were rescued. And God destroyed the whole world. And you might be thinking, why? That is severe. But they had all sinned. And they continued in their rebellion and in their disobedience towards God. And God wiped out the whole earth with a flood. And that is how serious sin is before God. If you go a little bit further, even to the children of Israel, you find when they went into the land of promise, a man named Achan in Jericho, and he would come and take some of the spoils, and he would hide it in underneath his tent, and it was not his. And he would bring sin upon Israel. And Israel, before that, had wiped out Jericho by the hand of the Lord, and they went and just tried to destroy small cities. That would have been an easy task usually. And all of a sudden, they could not, because God withstood them. Why? Because we could read there was sin in the camp. God takes sin very serious. If you come even to when God made a covenant with the children of Israel, and he brought in the sacrificial system. And even in the sacrificial system, there were 2 offerings for God to be able to dwell amongst his people and to be near them with his presence in the tabernacle. There had to be 2 offerings that had to be given, the sin offering and a trespass offering. The sin offering was, if you sinned against God, you had to make an offering. It was a must. And a trespass offering is if you trespass against your neighbor or your fellow man. There had to be a trespass offering. Sin had to be dealt with. But we know, of course, in the Old Testament that there was just a temporary covering because Christ had not come yet and dealt with sin in its totality. So we find sin a very serious issue in the Old Testament. And God, you find even further with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you find how they would sin against God in such a way that is even prevalent today. But they would sin against God in a very wicked ways. The wickedness of their acts would come up before God. And God would come down and he would destroy the city, the cities, with fire from heaven. And that is why we were talking tonight how you might not think that sin is serious, but it really is. And if we zero in a little bit closer to our own selves, our own hearts, and we recognize, I am a wicked sinner myself. Before I was ever saved, on November 11, 2007, before I ever came to the truth that Jesus died for me, I had to recognize, I am a wicked sinner. My sin, my personal sin before a holy God is what's going to take me away from God forever in a place called, the Bible calls it, hell, and eventually the lake of fire. So sin has to be judged. And I hope by now you recognize this. If you've never recognized this, how bad your own sin is, it is very serious before a holy God. And so we read here, from Isaiah 53, verse 6. It starts like this. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone, notice, we, everyone, to our own way. Very selfish as human beings. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So tonight we want to recognize, first of all, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now let's talk about what God has done. For this is very precious. Even last week, I want to share something. I was very encouraged. 2 weeks ago, we heard of somebody that we're in contact with, that he thought he was a Christian all his life, grew up in church, and he thought he was born a Christian, but he never had a time in his life when he had ever recognized that Jesus died for him personally and why he did this. And he was weeping after somebody told him in a testimony, Jesus died for me. And right at that moment, he fell down and wept before the Lord and recognized that Jesus died for him as well. Because he realized at that time that he needs a Savior. And then Jesus died for him. And that is, we find in Isaiah 53, it is full of substitution. Seven times I realized, as I studied it earlier, it's mentioned that it says here, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You find later it says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And you find that seven times, if you go through Isaiah 53, seven times it talks about substitution. It says here, before that, and I love these verses as well, but he was wounded. So on the cross, Christ, it says here, he, and we have to talk about who this person is, the Lord Jesus. Notice that he came, when he came into the world, he came by the Holy Spirit, and he was born of a virgin, and man's, how do you say it, his sinful DNA never came to him. He was separate from sinners. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was different than anybody else. He was the Holy Son of God. We think of how it says, and that Holy One that shall be born of you shall be called what? The Son of God. He is truly God, and yet he is truly man. He became a true man. The one that came out of Bethlehem. The one that was born in Bethlehem of Judea. The one that came out of there was a real man, and yet he had no sin upon him. The Bible guards very carefully. When it talks about the person of Christ and his holy character, it mentions always, it guards it, that he had no sin. He was the spotless, perfect Son of God. And he is the one that is the answer for man's problem before God. God saw our need, and God is a God of relationship. We find that in the very Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day, he walked with man. He loves his creation. And then you find it further in the tabernacle with the children of Israel, dwelling with his people. God loves you. God loves me tonight. And he has shown it, that he is willing to go to extreme lengths to bring back a relationship that we destroyed with him, that we had destroyed. God did not do anything against us. We did everything against him. We had disobeyed him, our creator, our God. And what did God do? He sent his well-beloved son to a world that was filled with sin. And what did they do to him? The moment his public ministry, when he was 30 years old, started, from the very start, they rejected him, especially the religious people, the people that tried to get to heaven on their own, that said, we have no need for Christ. Those are the people that rejected him. They said no to this man from the very start, very early into his ministry. They would try to throw him off a cliff very early on. That's how people's hearts are against, naturally, against God. So that is who Christ is. He is holy. He is harmless. He is the very Son of the living God. And actually, he is truly God. He himself is God manifest in the flesh. And where do we find him here? In Isaiah 53 here. This is approximately 700 years before Jesus came into the world. This was written. I mean, how accurate is the scriptures? It's almost as if you're reading it past tense. But it was written 700 years before, and it says this. But he was, now we're going to zoom in on the cross. Now we know what men did to him and how actually right before this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So we know what men did to him. They said, away with this man. We do not want this man. We do not want God to reign over us. We don't want this man to reign over us. This perfect man, this man of love. Everyone that came to him, he never turned anyone away. You never read of him turning one person away. He loved people. He healed people. We think of the woman at the well, and he saved her. She had many broken relationships, much hurt in her life, and he saved her. We think of the woman caught in adultery, and he would say to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We see the heart of Christ. He is lovely. He is precious. And yet we find him at a place, and we're going to zoom in at this place. Men said, away with him. They would scourge his back. And I read today in Isaiah earlier, it says that his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So there you see the wickedness of man. They would plow his back open like a plowed field. And he would look really, what it's talking about is he wouldn't really look human anymore. That's how he was disfigured. That's how man treated Christ. This is a blow to humanity, to our own hearts, how wicked we really are. And then it says this. Now we're going to the cross there, how he's hanging upon the cross. They pierced, in Psalm 22, also prophetic, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And we find him lifted up upon a cross, God himself coming to rescue us. Now what did he do there that is so significant? And why do we as Christians boast in the cross? We think of how Paul could say in Galatians, that the world is crucified unto him and I unto the world. And why do we, God forbid that I should glory, save in what? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we talk about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says this here. And on that cross, he was wounded for what? For our transgressions. Notice how it's a substitute. Somebody, I deserve this. I deserve to be punished. But somebody else took the punishment. And you find that here, but he, that's Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities or our sins. The chastisement of our peace. Now, this is a long word, chastisement. What does this mean? It's more the idea of the punishment for our peace with God. In order for us to have peace with God again and have a relationship with God again, there has to be punishment for sin. Our sins have to be punished in order for us to have peace with God. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him. Now let that sink in. The punishment that we deserved for our peace with God was upon who? Upon him. On a cross. And with his stripes, we are healed. It doesn't say we might be healed. It says we are healed. We can take the word of God and say, do I fit into this verse? When it says we, can I put myself in there? Is this talking about myself? When it talks about our iniquities, does this talk about my iniquities? When it says, by his stripes we are healed, does that mean me? Take this in for yourself. God's word is to be taken personal. God wants you to personally accept this and take this in and say, yes, I am the sinner. My sin deserved punishment. And in order to have peace with God, Christ took it all upon the cross. Notice how is he for me, he for us. And if you can take this in, you will be saved. A little bit further, it says this. See, notice how it gives us information of what happened there upon the cross. It wasn't just what men did to him. Growing up, that's all I really understood, is what men did to him. But here there is something very deep that happened. It says this in verse 10 of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, that's God in heaven, has put him, that's Christ, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, that's Jesus' soul, an offering for sin. So here we're getting close, right in to what's happening there upon the cross. There we see an offering made to God. And what is this offering? It's an offering for sin. And who is offering this? It's Christ. So now we find there on the cross what happened. Why? We realize now why Jesus cried as we were singing with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, it's because of this. He made his soul an offering for sin. God had to separate and punish Christ instead of me. And we sometimes sing, on him almighty vengeance or anger fell. On Christ almighty vengeance fell that would have sank a world to hell. And it fell upon this precious person called Jesus Christ. And he made his soul an offering for sin. So this is really the gospel tonight. When we talk about the cross and what happened there, we're talking from experience ourselves. It's from the word of God, but we have experienced this ourselves. There was a time in my life when I didn't care. I did not care about this story. I really didn't. I only cared about my own selfish desires and my own life of sin, really, and disobedience and rebellion against God. And then there was a time when this message from the Bible, notice how we went over verse by verse. This is not something that we have conjured up and decided. This is something that God's word says. So please take it very serious. And I remember when I heard this message for the first time preached on a pulpit like this, and I realized all these things. Yes, I am lost. I am actually, truly going to hell. And I deserve it because it is not God who has forced me to sin and rebel against him. I did it out of my own selfish desires. I went against God, and for 17 years of my life, I rejected God. I did not come to him or seek him, and then, but he sought me, and he is seeking you tonight. Do you ever wonder why you are drawn to a place like this, and you're under such privilege, really, to hear the truth where millions of people do not have the privilege to hear? And God wants you. He wants you personally. He loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you, just like he has a relationship with us who are saved. And he wants to save your soul. He loves your soul. The Bible actually says that God is love. His very character, his heart, is love. And we find this here in the cross. We find God's love towards mankind. We find the love of the Lord Jesus. He decided to come down to such a death as that. And that this was at a time when the cross was a popular death. Before that and after that, it wasn't as popular. But at this time, he came to such a death, to such agony and suffering. And not only that, to be crushed under the mighty hand of God for our sins. And at the end, he said this, with a loud voice, he said this. He said, "It is finished." The offering of his soul for sin, what God had done in relation to man's sin, was finished. It was accomplished. He hath done this, and no one else. It's no one else but Jesus. No one else has taken care of sin but Christ. And he has done it all. And tonight, may you recognize this, that if you receive Christ and what he did for you, you will be saved tonight and forever. And the Holy Spirit will come in and you will become a new creation, the Bible calls it, and you will be saved forever. And you know that this is what God says, and we can trust his word. And I'll just leave you with one more verse. It is the verse that I got saved by, and it's John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or beloved Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'll just leave you one more. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And please try to take this in. "And the Lord has laid on him, and not another, on him, the iniquity or the sin of us all." That's in closing here.